All right. So first off, note to APHA, when you organize funder panels, they tend to draw people. So if you're doing it next year, perhaps a little bit bigger room. But thank you for crowding in. Hopefully this will be a great conversation. My name is Chris Cable. I'm a senior program officer on the health team at the Kresge Foundation. Kresge, we're very excited about this moment in healthcare transformation, particularly about the opportunities that present themselves to move resources upstream, improve population health, and really rewire the incentive structure for American healthcare. I want to apologize. I realize I did not include the mandatory disclosure slide. I have nothing to disclose, no conflicts, but I hope the fact that I forgot the slide does not cause APHA to revoke my membership. But Kresge is a $3 billion national foundation. We're based in metropolitan Detroit. Our mission is to improve opportunities for low-income people in American cities. Last year, we awarded a little bit over 300 grants, totaling about $122 million. We have a very active social investment practice as well, which committed about $18 million in financial vehicles like program-related investments and loan guarantees. So health is one of seven program areas for Kresge. We also work in arts and culture, community development, the revitalization of the city of Detroit, which is our largest program, education, environment, and human services. And we're particularly interested in initiatives that cut across multiple program areas and advance multiple strategies. So there are few things more tedious than listening to somebody walk through their theory of change, so I'm going to spare you that. But I do want to point out a couple of important things. So the overall goal for the Kresge Health Program is to enable communities to achieve their vision of health and equity. Our vision is for healthy, opportunity-rich communities for low-income people in American cities. And to achieve this vision, we organize our work within two broad program areas. Developing healthy places, which is where you'll find a lot of our work in food systems, housing, built environment, transportation, and then accelerating community-centered approaches within the health system. I usually add within and beyond the health system because that's really what we're trying to drive. And that's where we're going to concentrate the presentation for today. So within accelerating community-centered approaches, we have several major initiatives. Focus for this presentation today is on our biggest initiative, which is moving healthcare upstream, which is being led by the Center for Healthier Children, Families, and Communities at UCLA, and the NEMORS Center for our National Office for Policy and Prevention. We also have a number of other initiatives. Both Brian and Abby mentioned the Build Health Challenge. We're very excited to be partnering with De Beaumont Foundation, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the advisory board on this. Brian, on one of his slides, spelled out build, bold, upstream, integrated, local, data-driven. So the L in build is very important, local. This is going to be a very place-based initiative. So as Brian mentioned, we're going to be making 14 awards. They're going to be focused on improving social determinants of health within neighborhoods, census tract zip codes that are experiencing significant barriers to health in American cities. And we're defining cities as anything over 150,000 residents. Brian also mentioned that it's going to require collaboration with, at a minimum, local health system, local health department, and at least one community-based organization. A community-based organization, what we're looking for, is one that is deeply rooted in the low-income neighborhood. That's the focus of the intervention, that has the credibility to lead the work, and that can engage new partners, particularly multi-sectorally. Emerging Leaders in Public Health, it's a new program. We're actually going to be announcing our first cohort of fellows next week. Safety Net Enhancement Initiative. This has been an initiative that's been going on for 3 years. And if tomorrow morning, if you don't already have your 8:30 session planned, there's going to be a panel of four of our SNE grantees that are going to be presenting their work. Then, as I mentioned, we've got a very active social investment practice. So one of our initiatives within accelerating community-centered approaches, it's a $5 million partnership we have with the California Healthcare Foundation called Partnering for Impact that uses program-related investments to get new healthcare technologies into community health centers in the most effective and efficient way. So I mentioned moving healthcare upstream. It's by far our largest commitment. And why did Kresge choose to make such a major investment in moving healthcare upstream? Well, first, the Affordable Care Act has really necessitated accelerated movement towards population health. Now, I know a lot of folks in this room, you've probably been working on improving population health for a long time. This is not a new topic for you. And sometimes you may have felt like the lone voice in the wilderness. The good news is that there are a whole bunch of new players that are moving into the population health field. The challenge is there are a whole bunch of new players that are moving into the population health field. Not all of them have tremendous expertise in really what drives population health or what strategies are effective. You have a lot of health systems whose core competency has been delivering procedures, delivering health care services, not necessarily taking responsibility for the health of an entire geographic area. They're learning that they need new partners, new forms of partnership with new organizations. And we realized there wasn't really any effective national learning network to connect the innovators in population health and in real time allow them to share what they were learning, what was working, what wasn't working, and why. And once you realize, okay, well, there is a need for this sort of network, the next logical question is, well, who has the credibility and the capacity to design and implement it? And that's where we came to partner with the Center for Healthier Children, Families, and Communities at UCLA and the NEMORS National Office on Policy and Prevention. So between the two organizations, that was a $4.5 million two grants, which for Kresge is huge. Please don't take that as a benchmark. Anybody in this room who's thinking about submitting a proposal to Kresge, that was well beyond two standard deviations of the mean for us. So what were the aspirations that we collectively had with our partners? First, to identify and share and foster innovations. And that's not terribly new if anyone's familiar with network theory. That's really why networks exist. But particularly with moving healthcare upstream, there's an intentional focus on the life course and investing early with children and families. Very explicit focus on reducing health inequities and promoting health equity, addressing the upstream determinants of health, and encouraging exchange and adoption among learning network members. So how do we do this? Well, we don't have time to go through the entirety of this very elegant design for moving healthcare upstream, but I should mention that it was based on a very rigorous analytical framework and a very thorough environmental scan. And at the heart of moving healthcare upstream are the networks that you see in the top tier of this slide. So the collaborative innovation networks, or COINs, the learning networks, and the interest networks. Brian, could you pass me a water bottle? Oh, thanks. So how are these networks different, and how do they reinforce each other? Well, the COINs, members of the COINs, create, test, and improve in innovation. So members collaborate to develop promising concepts into the first version that can be turned into practice. New COINs can be continually forming around a priority topic. Once they develop a prototype and test it, they can disband, they can regroup, they can move on to the next. And so in this way, it's very dynamic. Potential products that a COIN can produce can range anywhere from a new smartphone app to an integrated care process. Learning network members, in contrast, are actually implementing multiple systemic changes at the same time. While COINs try to turn a promising idea into a specific solution, learning network members are really focused on committed to achieving specific aims in population health improvement. Ideally, they're also all contributing to the work of the COINs. And members work to implement effective population health practices in their communities, sharing in real time what's working, what's not working, and why. Interest networks are a sort of a lower level of intensity of involvement. It's essentially anyone that has an interest in effective population health strategies, and they can essentially take down and use what the learning networks and the COINs are developing and implementing and testing and evaluating. So in summary, COINs form to do the small-scale testing on a promising idea. The learning networks find ways to actually implement it on a broader scale and test it out and evaluate it. And anyone involved in an interest network can essentially sort of download what has proven to be effective in other communities and use it on their own. Simultaneously, members of all the networks are going to be working to on sustainability, particularly with regards to policy advocacy and strategic communications, to ensure that these aren't just one-off types of innovations. So given the breadth of the field of population health, What are some of the criteria that are being used to prioritize the first batch of coins? So the first, of course, is impact. You know, what's the potential impact of a particular innovation on health over the life course, particularly for children in vulnerable families? Is it relevant to multiple service sectors? Is it generalizable enough? So what's working in Cincinnati, say, could also work in Memphis or Tulsa. Feasibility and sustainability, particularly sustainability that can be embedded into policy or organizational structure. Potential for leverage, both in terms of funding and partnerships. Is it sufficiently inspirational to draw new partners to the table and keep them engaged? And this should go without saying, finally, there's no known solution, otherwise the need for innovation wouldn't exist in the first place. So based on these criteria, the first four coins have been developed. And sort of the unifying theme on these first four coins are really integrated services for vulnerable children and families. So first there's what's known as a shared plan. What shared plan is really about developing an integrated system, continuum of care across agencies and organizations that are all serving similar groups of children or families. So key to this is sharing and measuring data and using it as a way for shared accountability. I know, you know, Brian and I have talked about this before in terms of just the difficulty sometimes of just getting a health system and a local health department and a K-12 education system to share data, right? Add on to that early childhood, add on to that whole host of other sectors. It shouldn't have to be so difficult that you have to recreate that wheel in city after city after city, right? Once someone figures out the secret sauce, it should be shareable. Seamless connections. It's essentially about ensuring that there's no gap between organizations the service experience of vulnerable families. A lot of folks have used the term sort of no wrong door, right? So it's more difficult to put into practice than it is to actually say in theory, but a lot of organizations are committed to it. It's a matter of turning it into practice that's difficult. Contingency planning is essentially about providing families and providers with the tools to anticipate potential crises in the lives of vulnerable families so that they can ideally prevent them, or if they can't prevent them, at least mitigate their effects. And tiered preventive care is about developing a system of stratified care that recognizes that's not just based on one clinical condition, but takes into account a whole range of behavioral, environmental, and social factors so that the structure of care between organizations can be most effectively designed and implemented. Now, these are just the first four coins. A number of other coins are going to be developed based on priority topics. These are the ones where there were a sufficient number of ready and eager partners to join them and to start exchanging ideas. So coins have responsibility for designing, prototyping, piloting, and implementing their innovations with the ultimate goal to scale and spread them. As at a reception, was any of us at the reception last night that the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco hosted? No, okay. It was essentially on the intersection of community development. And, oh, Abby was there, yes. So David Erickson from San Francisco Fed used this term, which I love now. I'm shamelessly ripping it off. But he used this term, routinizing the extraordinary. Right? And that's essentially what we're talking about here. If there's one collaboration that, again, I'm going to use Cincinnati as an example, that really figures out how to redesign systems in a way that gets better population health outcomes, the next city over shouldn't have to like beat their heads against the wall to do the exact same thing. So they should be able to apply that model to achieve better population health outcomes in their own community. So how can you become involved? Well, there are three ways right now. You can contribute to the ongoing environmental scan that's going to help to identify the next set of priority topics. You can join one of the existing coins or a learning network, or you can organize a group of your own population health innovators around your own promising concept. We are fortunate today to be joined by Mishka Gorel from UCLA. So wave your hand, Mishka. So Mishka is the person to go to if you want to become involved. I hope you do, because networks only really work with active, committed, engaged partners. And I know a lot of folks in this room, a lot of folks in this conference are doing tremendous work in population health. and we need to learn from each other effectively. So thanks very much. Sorry, one other thing. Brian gave you the Build Health Challenge website. I did print out a few of the calls for applications that are here. Woefully too few for everybody in the room, but the website has everything you could want and more. So thanks.